Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. You are listening to Good You. I'm your host, Samantha, and today we're going to be going on my ADHD journey. So I decided to get a little vulnerable today and talk about what it's like having ADHD and the journey that I've had in my life due to having ADHD. I know a lot of people are diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and I think that even people listening will be able to relate to what I talk about today. So I hope that just by knowing that you're not alone in the things that you've experienced, and that there's someone out there that also has these experiences and has gone through them and learned from them, I hope that that helps in your journey. So I hope you're excited. Let's get started. Okay, so let's start with the symptoms that I saw early on as a child with ADHD. I definitely started pretty early with my symptoms. One of my core memories I remember is when I was 3 years old, I started picking my lips. And that was, using my fingers and my nails to peel my lip skin. Like some people bite their nails, and which I did that as well. And some people pick at and bite their cuticles, which again, I did that as well. But I do remember starting with my lips, and I was about 3 years old when this started. And this, I don't know why it was such a core memory to me, but I remember I was about that age because we were still in the home that we lived in before we moved when I was 4 years old. So we moved at four. So I had to be about three or four when this started. And lip picking is definitely something that I've struggled with since then and still struggle with to this day. I didn't know until I was an adult that this was a symptom. Even when I was diagnosed and throughout all of that time, I had no idea that my skin picking was due to my ADHD, or just it was more just a way to cope with my hyperactivity as a child and low impulse control that goes in with having ADHD. And for me, I couldn't stand the fact that I did that to my lips, and I still do to my lips and my fingers. It's part of the reason that a lot of the time I try to go get my nails done pretty often, because it makes it more difficult for me to do these things. But it is something that maybe if someone out there who has ADHD didn't know that was a symptom and they do that, that could have been caused from that. Skin picking definitely can be comorbid with other disorders as well, like body dysmorphic disorder. And I know that that's something that also I've had in my past and still struggle with to this day, but it definitely can be more than just being contributed to ADHD. So when I was younger, I also remember how vivid my daydreaming would be. I would be in school and I'd be, this is, third grade, really, really young. I remember sitting there and not being able to take in a damn thing. I'd be sitting, staring off into space. And I'd get really frustrated with this because I didn't want to not be able to pay attention, even though what I was learning to me was extremely boring. I did well in some subjects, but I did extremely bad in others. Like history and math were probably two of my most difficult subjects that I struggled the most with. I think that a lot of the ones that I had to memorize things that just didn't make sense, to memorize, I guess. Science, you can make sense in a way. I don't think I did extremely well in any classes, if I'm going to be honest. Maybe spelling. I don't really know. Maybe that's just something I was naturally worked well with, but all my other class, I was a pretty average student, around C's for sure. But math and I remember history always were like I struggled the most with. I remember we'd be reviewing homework in grammar school and we, you know, go over question by question and I'd zone out and literally at question number one. And I'd come back too just to like check in to what number we're on to make sure that if they do call on me, you know, I can quick come up with an answer. And we'd be on question 19, somewhere ridiculous. And I'm like, where was I for the past 19 questions? I don't even know what happened. I feel like there were gaps of time missing in my timeline throughout the day from daydreaming. It's crazy. It is crazy. It was crazy. It didn't make sense. It also wasn't something that I realized that I was alone and struggling in. I thought that everyone kind of did, except like, you know, the really smart people in school that excelled in everything. You were like, well, yeah, no, they of course are paying attention. But I didn't know how alone I really was in that. And I probably wasn't. Obviously, there were probably other kids in the class that struggled with ADHD, but a lot of my friends who didn't have ADHD at the time, like, had no struggles with paying attention and sitting still and listening to the teacher and getting good grades. Not only was I struggling with my ability to pay attention, but it was hard with like making and maintaining friends. In grammar school, I was considered like annoying and like a very hyperactive. I mean, a lot of girls go underdiagnosed for ADHD. And that's because it's more obvious in boys. Like, boys show the hyperactivity and poor impulse control, but it shows differently for girls. It shows like they're not as hyperactive. It's more of the spacing out. So it's quiet, but they're not doing well behind the scenes. So they go underdiagnosed. Like, it's more on average that girls get diagnosed in their teens and boys can get diagnosed when they're preteens still. So that's something, I mean, I didn't get diagnosed until I was 13. So I was definitely one of those girls, even though I was very hyperactive. So I wasn't like the average typical ADHD female student. I showed a lot of that those hyperactive symptoms of ADHD as well. I had very bad impulse control. I really struggled actually with my eating, with impulse control. And I developed I developed binge eating when I was young because I couldn't understand whether or not I was hungry or if I was bored these thoughts didn't go through my head as a kid. Like, my boredom was hunger, and a lot of people struggle with that now. But as a child, like, a lot of kids are very much within their weight range. I mean, in America, we're starting to see a little difference in that, but it was hard because I was definitely probably one of the most heaviest weight in my class from third grade to eighth grade. And I didn't understand why it was so hard for me. I mean, I tried diets in grammar school. Like, I tried going on Nutrisystem. Okay, do we remember Nutrisystem? Is that even still a thing? I used those replacement shakes. I'm trying to think of the name of them. I'll think of it. But there was like these things in grammar school. Like, try to think of your like fifth grader going on a fad diet because they feel like they can't control their weight. It's sad. I mean, but at the same time, it's realistic. And it's something that I didn't understand what was wrong. My parents also, I know I've talked about before, had a restaurant. So there was always good food passing in the house. I mean, I didn't know how to eat healthy. I think that's something that we can talk about with schools dropping the ball on children, because they should be teaching about how to have a proper diet and like fuel your body properly, but whatever. That's a whole separate conversation. But yeah, I definitely was considered obese from about third grade to eighth grade. Doctors were always concerned anytime I went in. And it wasn't something that I had any help with dealing with. So, like I said before, I definitely struggled probably the most with math and history. But it wasn't until eighth grade that I started failing in my first subject. And we used to get these midterm reports letting you know what your grade is halfway throughout the year. And my grade in algebra was an F. And I remember my dad coming in my bedroom and being like, you have an F in algebra. And I'm like, I don't really know what to say about this. I can't figure it out. I never had help with my homework as a kid. Like my parents worked a lot. And so it wasn't an option like for them to be able to come home and sit with me and do homework. I had to figure it out on my own. And I don't think they know how to do algebra anyway. But it was definitely something that I struggled with. I couldn't figure out. And like when I was in eighth grade, it might've been actually, I think I was about in seventh grade. I don't think I was in high school yet. And my sister had gotten diagnosed with ADHD, my older sister. She started taking medication for her diagnosis. And so when I reached eighth grade and I started failing algebra, it was even like, to be honest, I'm calling myself out. I didn't even get accepted to the high school that I wanted at first because my grades in math weren't great. And pulling some strings, I ended up being able to take a summer class for math. So I had to go to summer school before even entering high school to be considered for high school. And I remember how difficult that was for me to go through. Like I remember like sitting in math, having to sit in a classroom with ADHD with no understanding of what it is that's going on with your mind, is one of the most difficult things to experience. And I'm always curious to what it's like for people who don't have ADHD, because if it's anywhere near that difficult for them, it feels as though you're like every ounce of energy you have in your body is being drained from you. And no matter how hard you try to focus, you realize, oh crap, I've been zoning out this whole time. And you come back and you've missed like an important part of the lesson. It's just, it feels like you're fighting a battle that you can't win. I think when my parents saw my grade of an F in algebra and realized, you know, maybe she has the same problem that Katie has. So I ended up going to a psychiatrist and they ran some tests on me. And I'm not going to lie, I think that the tests that they ran with me were kind of stupid. He ended up saying like, oh, no way she can be ADHD. She ended up scoring like college level in certain subjects that he gave for me to test with. And I'm just like, well, but just because I test at these levels doesn't mean that when I'm in a classroom or when I'm at home, I'm not struggling. Any of these places, I'm not struggling. I mean, he didn't even sit with me in a room alone to just see how hard it is for me to sit still or how hard it is for me to maintain a conversation. It was like, do this paper, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Do this, try to solve this puzzle, we'll be back in so many minutes. And of course, that's what I'm there for, right? Like, so what, I'm supposed to just sit here and do nothing? And then they're going to say, oh, she has ADHD, I guess, because she didn't even do the puzzle. Like, I know what I'm there for. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and what I'm being told. Doesn't mean I don't have ADHD. So we ended up going back because it just like that just didn't make sense to my parents either. And I did end up being diagnosed with ADHD after being sat with and, you know, recognizing that this could be a problem because they gave my history of schooling and what probably should have been done in the first place. And once I started taking my medication, my whole world changed, and some for the better and some for the worst. And we're going to kind of get into that. So the positives of being diagnosed, right? Like I finally know what's wrong with me. I finally know I'm not like crazy and I'm not just lazy and all these things that I've been tortured with, all these words I've been tortured with my whole life. My grades started going up. My math grade, that algebra grade that I had an F in, went straight to hundreds. I'm not even kidding at that. I was failing, and then everything after that, I started getting 100 in, to the point where I got an A at the end of the year, the school year. I ended up getting an A in that class. My grades went from a 2.6 GPA to a 3.6 GPA that same year. So midterms, I had a 2.6 and then I ended up with a 3.6 that same year. I started to be able to give my family and friends my full and undivided attention and hold conversations. I was able to give my teachers and lessens my full and undivided attention. I felt like I was like, oh gosh, this is what it's like to be able to sit here and know what's happening and not feel like exhausted from just sitting here. My binge eating got under control because the medication that I was prescribed to not only helped with ADHD, but it is also a prescription for binge eaters. So it was kind of like a two-in-one with helping with that. And for once in my life, I felt normal. I felt like I felt like a normal kid. I felt like I wasn't being judged. And it was great until I started to take advantage of the medication that I was prescribed to. So the negatives about being prescribed to my ADHD medication, I mean, it was extremely helpful being prescribed because, like I said, like there were so many things that I just couldn't understand. I don't think my parents understood a lot. Actually, I'm gonna take that back. I know they didn't understand a lot about ADHD being diagnosed, being prescribed medication. Like they really trusted and probably trusted a little too much the doctors and the mental health professionals in my life. And I think that a little too much control was put on in my hands as a high schooler, as a 13-year-old, to be able to handle a medication that is considered highly addictive. So I think that there were a lot of failures on the way. I just think that it would have been helpful if during this time I would have been, you know, set up with a counselor or someone to make sure that I'm understanding how this medication works and properly using it. But I wasn't. And, you know, I noticed that there were a lot of changes. My weight loss was rapidly happening. And I took advantage of that because one of the side effects of the medication is loss of appetite. And I really used that to my advantage. And I started eating about one item a day. I lost a good bit of my body weight within half of a year and went from obese to about the normal range for my height and my age. I, you know, ended up eating so little per day and drinking little to no water every day that I would have bouts of dizziness anytime I stood up along with that rapid weight loss. I really enjoyed the energy that came naturally from this medication. And I started to drink caffeine along with my medication, which is like a no-no to do. And I would drink a lot of caffeine, like extra shots of espresso in my coffee, or I'd have like a Monster energy drink. And this would be like every day I'm having caffeine for sure every day. I was in high school and I was my own doctor. The doctor I had didn't question whenever I asked to go up in milligrams for my prescription. I was going up so often that I ended up on about 3 times the dosage that I started off with. So within like a year. And by the time I was in college, I even went up higher than that. I don't know why that was entrusted to me. I remember even asking for another medication, like something for after school. I remember saying like, you know, by the time I get out of class, this still isn't enough. So he prescribed me to something else to take for afterwards. And I definitely was not taking these things properly. My parents trusted that I knew what I was doing. And also they trusted my sister. And we were both doing, like we both weren't eating. We both were losing weight rapidly. There were things that we both increased our dosage rapidly as well. So there were benefits from me getting on in that knowing what my diagnosis is, knowing what is the reason for my struggles helped me a lot. But it would have been way more helpful if getting on the medication, I had professionals that actually monitored me properly and professionally and responsibly. So things that I remember from having ADHD as a child, I remember not fitting in. I was so like all over the place. And I also remember these like having incessant insomnia. Like I never slept at night. And this is before I was diagnosed and put on medication. But I just remember never sleeping. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and not going back to sleep. I really struggled with being able to sleep through a full night. And I still was able to have these bouts of energy throughout the day. Like, I still could go through the day. I remember TV was my best friend and my worst enemy. I remember that I could zone into a TV all day and watch, I don't know, SpongeBob or Looney Tunes. I could watch that shit all day long. I genuinely could watch Lizzie McGuire, That's So Raven, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, like, give it all to me. I sat there for hours and hours and hours and binge watched TV. So it wasn't until I was older until I realized that TV increases the risk of attention problems in children with without ADHD. So children with ADHD, it can cause extreme like TV addictions. And I do have to say that I think that I did have one. I remember not being able to control like random bouts of exhaustion. And I still feel like I experience that now. Then before I was prescribed or diagnosed, I had really low motivation and high fatigue. It was really hard for me to do simple tasks like brushing my teeth or putting on deodorant or regularly showering. Like, those things felt like so exhausting just to think about that I ended up skipping a lot of things that you need to be doing daily and every morning and every night. Like, there were things that I just let slip. I also had no motivation to ever clean my room. You know, I was called like lazy and made fun of for not doing these things, and that are considered normal for people to do, but lazy for people that don't. And it's something that I couldn't ever understand, why I didn't want to do these things and how. Why does everyone want to do this every day? Like, this is exhausting. It didn't make sense in my mind. And then even when I was diagnosed, I kept going up so much on my prescription that I was on like such a high dosage that I ended up being like paralyzed by this extreme amount of energy from my medication, which is a stimulant. And so I didn't even know what to do with all of it. I felt like I was just frozen on my phone, or I literally couldn't move. I had too much going on. So obviously that means that I'm on too high of a dose. And of course, it's not something that I was relating to at the time, because I am not a doctor, nor was I a mental health professional. And I had no idea what any of this was. I just was trying to figure it out on my own, which is dangerous. I felt like, as a kid, I just felt outcasted. I felt like it wasn't until I was an adult and researching what ADHD was that I realized what was going on with me. And I feel like a lot of negative memories that happened in my childhood that I still remember are like accompanied by the symptoms and how people responded to my symptoms of my ADHD. I think what's important is that like I've learned a lot from this experience, and that's why I feel the need to share. Like, I've come a very long way since I was first diagnosed and prescribed with ADHD medication. I think it's important to realize that even though ADHD is a very common diagnosis, it's still extremely difficult for people to deal with. I see so many social media like accounts making these stupid videos that show people with unrealistic symptoms and versions of ADHD and what it supposedly looks like. And yes, although I've seen accounts that actually do try to educate and show what it does look and feel like to have ADHD, I think it's harmful for the ones that are mocking what ADHD looks like. And it is even more harmful because like I struggled with what is it actually supposed to look like. And now I'm getting all of these ideas in my head. Oh, this really common symptom that everyone has could attribute to my ADHD. It's like, having to do my own research was probably the most important thing that I did for myself. And I'm glad I did. I also think it's important that parents look into their child's behaviors. I think that, like, you know, it's so easy to just brush it off as your child having low attention or being lazy or unmotivated and just viewing it as though this is just how my kid is. But there are so many things that I think could have been looked into by all the adults in my life, my parents, my teachers, my friends' parents. I mean, like I said, I was picking my lips at 3 years old, And I don't think that's very common for a three-year-old to start skin picking. I think that there were a lot of red flags that were overlooked as in my childhood. I remember teachers being really rude because obviously it was hard for me to pay attention in class. And I even remember one teacher telling me that I was going to go to clown college. So I remember you. I can't remember your name, though, unfortunately, because I'd call your ass out on this podcast because it's really shitty for you to do that to a kid who already feels really shitty about themselves and feels like they can't figure their life out and figure out like why they are different and think differently. Don't ever tell a child that. Like, why are you even in the school system anyway? Seriously, like no one wants to be ADHD. No one wants to not be able to pay attention. It's actually like one of the most frustrating things that I have to deal with even to this day. Like I have to go the extra mile to make sure I'm paying attention and listening to people's conversations when I'm exhausted, like especially when I'm tired. Obviously that's a common thing for everyone, but it's a different scale. You got to understand this is a different level of people not being able to pay attention, a different level of impulse control, a different level of hyperactivity. Like we're combining so many things into one person. It's exhausting. I think because of all this, I think that a lot of the adults in my life failed to help me when I was a kid. And it was myself that ended up being my own best friend in my adult years, in my young adult years, trying to figure out what it is that I need to do. So what's my relationship now with my ADHD and medication? So in late 2018-ish, I stopped taking my medication. I started experiencing panic attacks, which I didn't know was panic attacks at the time. We had a panic attack episode, that first major one where I ended up going to the ER. That's where it kind of all started. And I started getting scared that it was my medication that I had been misusing for so long that was causing my heart to palpitate. And I ended up just stopping it completely. And I didn't pick it up for 2 years. So for 2 years, I did not take any ADHD medication. And during that time, I learned a lot about myself. I realized how insecure I am, I think I still can be. I think there's an insecurity with being off of the medication and on the medication. When I first got off, I was more scared to be off because it had been so long. I think I was on medication at that point for about 9 years. Yeah, for 9 years. So for 9 years, I'm on a medication. And now all of a sudden I'm just stopping. I was insecure about what I was going to be like without it. I was scared that I'd be judged for being annoying and hyperactive. I was absolutely terrified to gain weight. I was scared that I was just going to like completely pick up binge eating without having the help of my medication to suppress my appetite. And I was scared I'd have like no motivation to get anything done. And I would just, pick up on fixating on the TV and my phone again. But I ended up doing really well. I made sure to try to my best to stay consistent with the gym and fueling my body with healthy foods or healthier. Like I didn't binge, which I found was something that I was scared of. And although I do go in, have bouts of binging, and I did then too, I ended up being able to come back to a neutral. And I wonder, like looking back, if I think the binging, like I said, also went into like my lack of knowledge of knowing how to eat properly and healthy and intuitively. I think that learning that towards the end of taking my medication, how to do that is I kind of like just transferred it to not being on my medication. And the job that I had at the time was fairly consistent. I did the same thing almost every day. I didn't have to learn new things that took a lot of my attention. And it was a very active job. So I think that that helped as well. But it was about 2 years later that I decided to start thinking about getting back on my medication. But this time I was like, I'm doing this the right way. I started to talk to my therapist and I said, I was completely honest about how I misused my medication when I was younger and how I wanted to do it right if I were to get back on. And I talked to my husband, who knew about my misuse, and he knew about my journey. And I got a new doctor, and I really started to hold myself accountable. I started a new job that was like much more, it needed a lot more of my attention. It was kind of like a receptionist at a law firm. So I, you know, went and did a lot of paperwork and organizing, filing, emailing. It was just things that really required me to be able to pay attention. I would hand write notes, like emails for the lawyer. So the lawyer, I'd tell him that he had this email and he would say, okay, say this back. And I'd have to hand write it like word for word before I went and typed it out. So it was a lot of me having to get my full and undivided attention. I felt like I was about to crumble because it was just too much. And that's when I decided that I think now's the time. I'm in a good place. I feel like I've learned a lot in these 2 years to be able to get back on. So with the help of the professionals in my life and my husband being a really awesome and supportive person in my life, I decided to get back on the lowest dose that I started on in the first place in eighth grade. And even doing that, I think that I was also scared. Like, you know, I was scared to get off. I didn't know what I was getting into, what it would look like for me. But I, you know, I was also scared to get back on. You know, I was terrified of hurting my heart with taking stimulants again. I was scared to lose control like I lost in high school and continue going up in my milligrams until the point where I was like a zombie. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I think like a lot of this journey for both getting off and getting back on shows how important it is to be able to learn how to trust yourself and to learn and to create this relationship with yourself. Not only is self-love really important, but trusting yourself is even more important at times because, you know, I think with trusting ourselves, that's like the first step before fully loving ourselves, right? And I think I was so scared of losing control that I didn't know what I was going to look at, right? I didn't know what it was going to be like. And it was good that I really started it off on the right foot by notifying the professionals around me and my husband. And the journey of my young adulthood, like as of now, is day and night from my adolescence. And now I have learned how to trust myself because of everything that I've done to do so. I think medication isn't the right answer for everyone. I'd suggest, honestly, to not jump into taking medication right away, especially if you're diagnosed really young. Not that I think any, you know, grammar school kids are listening to this podcast, hopefully. But I think that if you're a parent and your kid is very young being diagnosed with ADHD, I wouldn't jump right away to taking medication. That medication is very strong medication, and it should be kind of the last resort for you or for your kid. And doctors know a lot, mental health professionals know a lot, but you know your kid the best. And I think that to just keep that in mind, you know, I think my parents did trust professionals too much and trusted me too much. I don't think you should put your kid in charge of taking such a strong medication. And, you know, be sure that you're like being honest with yourself. Try the things first, like going to seek a mental health counselor, a professional, and work through behavioral therapy first before diving into medication. Or try going to the gym and getting natural energy through that route, because, you know, working out, eating healthy, providing your body with the right fuel to give you the right energy and focus does help as well. It aids in helping with ADHD. But it's easier for doctors to just prescribe. So I would say to try the wellness route first before going on medication. And sometimes that's not enough for people. Like ADHD is also a spectrum. It is a scale. You're not everyone. ADHD isn't the same exact way or the same exact amount of ADHD. For me, I'm back in school. I'm working two jobs. I started a podcast. It's a lot of stuff that requires my attention span. And I've stayed on the same dose without increasing while at the same time making sure I'm eating healthy. And I'm doing my best to get back into working out because we're struggling with that right now. But for the most part, I do work out every week. And I also have a therapist that is very much aware about me going back on. And my current doctor knows about my past in taking medication. And we talk about it every time I go in now. I trust myself. And I have a great support team and support system that makes sure that I'm doing well. And so I think that the most important thing you can do is make sure that you're being properly monitored by, in the best case scenario, a mental health professional, a medical professional, and a loved one that you trust. ADHD is extremely difficult to understand, especially for someone who doesn't have it. It's a lonely disorder to experience. It's exhausting. And I think something I can suggest to those who don't have it or struggle with it, to learn more about those around you, like your loved ones or your friends, family, whatever, who have ADHD and what they struggle with. Like, even though, because I joke a lot about my ADHD, I joke a lot about a lot of things, okay? And it's my coping mechanism. Like, it's my complete trauma response always is to laugh and make jokes, especially at my own expense. And it's just how I do it. So even though your friends might be the same way, and they laugh and make jokes about their ADHD and about how they forget things and, oh, like, it's my ADHD again, they probably still are struggling. And it does not help when our loved ones make fun of us for things that we feel are out of our control. It doesn't feel good to be called lazy. It doesn't feel good to be made fun of for how hyperactive or how annoying we are when we don't take our medication. And even though I've made jokes about that about myself, and I can't blame necessarily the people who are unaware of how hurtful it is for them to do it, even though I'm doing it to myself, right? I'm telling you now, it felt like it became an insecurity of mine because I felt like I couldn't not take my medicine for a long time because I was scared of being myself. So the best thing you can do is be supportive, be kind, and be understanding. So thank you so much for listening to my episode today. I feel like I got a lot off my chest. I hope that it helped you out there. I hope it helped you understand yourself or maybe someone that you love more. I know my husband really had to figure it out for himself too. It took a while of open communication and honesty to, you know, let him know like things that aren't as easy for me and for us to really work with each other on that. So enjoy the rest of your week and I will talk to y'all next time. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DreamScape. And follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.